I'm going to take about 25 minutes, and you might take a half hour, but turn with me to Luke chapter 1, and we're doing this whole thing as we begin a couple Sundays, maybe not next Sunday, but on the 15th and probably the 22nd, we're going to speak on end times, and we're just going to be kind of an introduction. Luke 1, 26. How many have ever had an angel, and you know it, and it wasn't pastor, an angel dispatched to you? How many have ever seen an angel? Okay, lift up your heads and look toward the front. You ain't seeing one. Well, the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be the Lord, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. There is a spiritual way to answer what the Holy Spirit is telling you or asking you to do. And that is not by saying, "Well, I'm unworthy, I can't do it, it's unable, I'm not qualified." I put on Facebook last week that when God asks you to do something, you're already qualified to do it. I want you to understand that. Because God is putting dreams and visions and ministries in the heart of people, and what he asks you to do, he's already qualified you because he's asking you. And he trusts you to do it. I'm reminded of Elijah. How many knew Elijah was a man of God? But how many knew before he was taken to heaven in a whirlwind that God told him to do three things? But Elijah only accomplished one of them, and Elisha had to do the rest. And we need to understand God has such a plan and such a beautiful picture for your lives. And we often look at it and say, "How can I do it? How can I do it? How can I do it?" He's not asking you to do it. He's asking you to let him do it through you.
That's right, amen.
He's just saying, "I want to do it." But sometimes we look at ourselves in the mirror and we get this false sense of humility that I am so unworthy and I am so unable. He not only qualifies you, he's made you worthy. He's accepted you. You're in the beloved. He has placed this in you, and now he's saying, "I trust you to let me do it through you." And that's where Mary had to come, and there was a cost. Because remember, the angel had to go to Joseph and explain to him what was going on. Because if you read Matthew chapter 1, he was going to put her away privately, the Bible says. He wasn't going to make a big scene, but there was something wrong with the picture before marriage, and she was expecting a baby. So I want you to understand that, and that's just a sidelight to where we're going. So God dispatches Gabriel to Mary to tell her that she's favored. Do you understand that you likewise are favored to the same degree that Mary was? That word, charitas, in the Greek, when said Mary was well favored, is the same word used in Ephesians chapter 2, chapter 1, and about verse number 6, where it says, He's made us accepted in the Beloved, He granted us favor. You call that word grace. But you are favored. So don't walk around living like somebody that's been rejected and beat up and dishonored and abused and all the stuff that we look at that we know has happened in some of our lives. Because with God, you have favor. And we'll never step into where God wants us to be until we learn that He's granted us favor. He's granted us grace. He's granted us mercy. He's forgiven all our sins. And so I know that the past has affected some of you and influenced where you are. But don't allow the past to influence your future now. Get beyond it. Get beyond it. And sometimes we just need to remember Peter. Peter denied Christ after he knew him. And Jesus told Peter, you're part of the foundation that the church is going to be built on. So the angel comes with a message. You're going to conceive in your womb, and you're going to call his name Jesus. Very interesting, because this morning I went back to the Hebrew. And Jesus is the word Jehovah, Yahshua. Yahshua. Do you know something? The Hebrews, the Jews, would not use that term because it was so sacred. They would not use the word Jehovah or Yahshua. They wouldn't speak it. Because that term was sacred. And I want us to understand something. Jesus is not a swear word. It's a holy name for the Son of God, which means Savior. He's our Savior. He came to redeem us. He purchased us. He bought us back. And he gave everything that he had. Keep in mind, he always was king. And you say, really? Kingdom without end is also a kingdom without beginning. I want you to understand that. How many remember when Jesus was standing before Pilate? And Pilate looked at him and said, are you the king of the Jews? How many remember that question? And Jesus didn't say, oh my God, no. He said, it is as you said. He is king. He is ruler. And his real name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord being master. Jesus means Savior. Christ means the anointed one or the Messiah. In Christ's name, the anointed one that they were looking for was found in Christ. And they missed it. Don't miss it. Whatever your beliefs are, don't miss the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is very God and very man at the same time. It says he will reign over the house of Jacob and his kingdom will be no end. This is where I wanted to get to, without belaboring the point. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be? I do not know a man. I've never known a man. And the angel responds about Elizabeth and all this stuff. And then he comes out with this, for with God, nothing will be impossible. You know, Adam and Eve weren't born, they were made out of the dust. How many understand that? So there's only one that's been conceived in the history of the world without a man and a woman uniting. That was Jesus. One time of immaculate conception. And that had to be because the sin line is found in the man. And everyone born of Adam was under sin. Jesus had the bloodline of his heavenly Father. It would have been amazing to take a DNA test on that. I want you to think about that. It would have been amazing to see what the blood type of Christ was, because we know it was eternal. And the angel tells her, Gabriel tells her, with God, nothing is impossible. I want to go back and take you to Genesis for a moment. Genesis 18, I believe. And the Bible says that the Lord appeared to Abraham and Sarah. The word there is very interesting because it's Jehovah. It was an angel. It's Jehovah. So Jesus came and appeared to Abraham and Sarah. And he's talking with Abraham, and Sarah's listening, and the God tells Abraham that your wife is going to have a baby, and she laughed. Later, she denied it. And so Jesus, speaking to Abraham, says this: is there anything too hard for God? Maybe God is churning something within you this morning through the presence of God that was in the earlier part of the service and flowing through it. And God is churning something, and you're looking at something that you feel is just out of line for God. Something that God just can't do. Or maybe you think he won't do it. And so that thing has come to a place in your mind where this is impossible. Impossible. And you look at it through your own eyes and you can't comprehend it in your own mind. And the best thing that you can do with what God may have put in your heart is just disown it. When God is looking at you and saying, I'm going to stretch you through this process, I think of Jim and Kathy. I've known them for be 33 years in January. Man, we go back. I can't believe that I'm that old.
Me either.
Jim was working for Lundstrom's. He went to work for the power team. He worked for Shambach. He worked at menial labor. He was an early morning riser, and he's not an early morning person. Delivered milk, drove cat, and year after year after year gone by, and I'm being very honest, I wondered, where's the niche, God? Where's the place to fit? It was like God taking Moses up to the border of the promised land and saying, you can't go in unless you drive a cat. Something caught, right? Something there. You don't look all worried about it. You don't look all troubled about it. Because there was something that fit. And it's doing the God's service up on the oil fields. So where are you at? We listen to God. We hear from God, but things come out and we say things and we come to a place where that can't be, that can't happen. It can't happen because I won't let it happen, or I won't believe it can happen, or it's been too long a time. Or is it just time to take the stranglehold off the Holy Spirit and say, okay, God, I believe, do what you want to do. This was a time of testing for Mary. Don't ever think it wasn't. This was a time of testing for years for Jim and Kathy. But in all the process, God was growing and stretching and ministering. And what's he doing in your life? What have you closed the door to? What have you said, it just can't be? We've had Ray and Wilma Phipps here. Ray was superintendent of schools in Pine Ridge and many other areas. He's getting close to 80. Somebody say 80 with me.
80.
Now they're going back to India again. Another trip. I just saw on their email. Seeing people absolutely, radically born again in Nepal where you don't dare to go in there. And in India. Impossible? Only if you allow the devil's lies to tell you God can't do it. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 24, I believe it is, that the pains of death, it was not possible for them to hold Jesus. It was impossible for death to control Jesus. He says, if you speak to that mountain, whatever you say is possible. And he says, when he's talking about that rich man has easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, and don't read a bunch into that. He's just saying that a lot of rich men trust in their riches instead of trusting in God. It's not a sin to be rich. You hear that, Lord? And you come to a place where we think that he was disclaiming the rich people from coming to Christ. That's not it. But he says nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing. So it's time we take the limits off God wants to do in you and through you and around you and in your families and in the communities and in the state and in the world. Why not? Whatever we can do in ourselves, God doesn't have to do. But he brings us to a place where we can't do it because he wants to demonstrate through doing things through us and in us that he loves us. And he knows your address and he knows your phone number. And I don't know if he's on Facebook or not. But he knows all about it. God wants you to see the possibility in what Satan says and you have made up your mind is impossible. He wants you to see it. He wants you to believe it. And God comes to say, I can do all things in your life and through your life. Just like there was a preparation for the first coming of Jesus, there's a preparation for the second coming. There's a preparation for the rapture. There's a lot of people that thinks that in every way and every day the world's getting better and better, just like some people did in 1948 before Israel became back into being a nation. There is going to be a rapture. I don't care who's preaching against it. I don't care what people are saying. It's in the Bible, and if you want to tear that out of your Bible, that's okay. But there's coming a time when the trumpet is going to sound and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that this mortal will put on immortality, and this corruptible will put on incorruption. And we shall be changed in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible. And so there's coming a time when this is going to happen. And the Bible says in the last days in 2 Peter, scoffers are going to come saying, where's his coming? Because since the world was formed, we heard that he's coming. He's coming in his own timetable. You don't set it. And nobody else sets it. I don't set it. And we know that the dead in Christ are going to rise and we're going to be caught up. And then we know that we're going to come back with him. And I just want to give you some scriptures to look at. You can look at Zechariah 14, where it said the armies are going to come into Israel, into Jerusalem, and the women are going to be ravished, and the city is going to be torn down. And at that time, Christ is going to descend from heaven. And if you look at that portion, it says all his saints are coming with him. So before the saints can come back, they got to get there. In Revelation 19, it talks about the fact, and we're going to go into detail in this as we get into this a little deeper. In Revelation 19, it says, I saw the heavens opened and him who sat on the white throne. And he had a name which is above every name. He had a vesture that was dipped in blood. And the armies from heaven came back with him. We're going to be an army. We're going to come back. He's going to do the fighting, but we're going to get to watch. Because it's not going to be much of a battle. And he's going to set up a kingdom for 1,000 years on this earth. And people also believe that's not possible. If God said it is possible, I believe it, and I'm going to be part of it.
Amen.
And so he's going to reign for 1,000 years, and Satan's going to be bound. It's going to be a time of peace, a time of love, a kind of kindness. And then Satan's going to be loose for a season, and he's going to go out and deceive. And you say, well, why is that? Because there's going to be people born during the millennial period who have to make a choice for Christ. There will be human people on the earth, and there will be us with our glorified bodies. So everyone has to make a choice, and a lot of people are going to be deceived as Satan is loose. And then fire comes down from heaven and devours Satan and his kingdom. We have the great white throne judgment. You're not going to be there as part of a participant. You're going to maybe there to watch. But that's when the wicked dead are judged, and those that are not written in the book of life are cast in the lake of fire. This present earthly system will be destroyed, and there'll be a new heaven and new earth coming down out of heaven. And the new Jerusalem will come out, and God's tabernacle will come down, and his throne will be among men. We're looking forward to that. We're not trying to escape anything. When the rapture happens, that's really up to God. I have opinion, but it's my opinion. And everybody else's opinion is the same. But it's opinion. But God will do it in his timetable and the way he wants to do it. But we know in a fact that it's happening. There will be a tribulation period. There will be Christians who are put to death. There will be martyrs. But I want us to understand something. God has equipped us and trained us and filled us and empowered us to stand. To stand. And I believe that we are the generation preparing for the return of Christ.
Yes.
And you need to have confidence in your relationship with God, that it's secure, that it's steadfast, and that God loves you and accepts you just the way you are. He's working in you to bring you up into a mature adult in Christ. And there are times of stretching, and there are times of tears, and there are times when we say, oh God, why didn't I do this, or why didn't I do it that way? And God says, okay, I got the next step for you. And so we come to a place in our lives where we are the John the Baptist of this present age. We're preparing the world for the return of Christ. We're teaching about Jesus. We're taking in the harvest. It's abundant, and it's beautiful, and it's a powerful kingdom. It's not anemic, and it's not weak, and it's not going under. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And like we were hearing this morning, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, or is already loosed in heaven. And he's challenging us to be men and women of God, anointed with the Holy Spirit, looking unto Jesus, the author and finish of our faith. There is no demon, there is no devil, there is no power, there is no force that can hinder you. Once you focus on Christ and you say, I'm going forth, we are secure in Christ. And God says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, we are walking this out as a body of Christ, as part of that body. And I want you to understand, you're a victor and you're not a victim. Don't allow the devil to give you a victim mentality, because we are powerful, we are anointed, we are strong, we are mighty. And I've been doing something. And I'm just going to share as I close. As you know, we had a little tough time in Custer Hospital in June. And every once in a while, the devil wants to bring back, you know, you may not make it home. You're going to die on the way home, the doctor said. And so what I've been doing ever since then, I've just had a clean bill of health given me in pretty much in August. And I was sharing this with a pastor this morning. I've been putting on the armor of God. And in maybe a different way than it's written. But I've been putting on the helmet of salvation, saying, Jesus is my helmet of salvation. Jesus is my breastplate of righteousness. Jesus is the truth that cover my loins. Jesus is the preparation of the gospel of peace. Jesus is the shield of faith. And Jesus is my sword of the Spirit. And I stand praying in all prayer and supplication in the name of Jesus. And every time I start feeling weak, I do that, and my strength comes back. Surprising! But Jesus is our armor.
Yes.
He is our armor. So as the darts of the enemy or the attacks of the enemy or lies of Satan come, put on Jesus.
Amen.
Put on Jesus. He's more powerful than any weapon that can be formed against him, because they're not going to prosper.
Amen.
Nothing. Nothing. And he's doing a new thing, and we're not going to remember the old. We're going to go on from new to new to new. We're going to a new level, and I'm not looking for a new devil at the new level. The devil don't keep up with me.
Amen.
Don't let him catch up to you. You keep going higher, and he can't get up there. So we just walk this thing out. And I believe with all my heart that God is going to do impossible things in your life and through you. And he's just telling us, get ready. Get ready. You sat for the last half hour listening to a message that could be repeated in two words. Get ready. Be prepared. Pop the cork. Let's drink of that heavenly water and walk through this life knowing that this world is not our home.
That's right.
We're sojourners. We're foreigners here, but we have a mission.
Yes.
We have a mission. We have the troops on the ground in Afghanistan. God got troops on the ground in Sisseton and Roberts County and South Dakota and North Dakota, and we're just waiting. We're just waiting.
Yes.
Carrying on the battle until Christ takes us home. So somebody said a long time ago, quit looking at the signs and start listening for the trumpet. Because that trump's going to sound. Praise God.